Charles Welton hitched his wagon to Ivan Allen, I believe, the JFK campaign in 1960. So he's come out as sort of being, for lack of a better word, a progressive Democrat in the South, although it's a relative term, I guess, right? And in 1962, after Baker versus Carr basically destroys the county unit system, a lot of urban Democrats now see an opportunity.
Yeah.
And Weltner was one of them, wasn't he?
Yeah. The fall of the county unit system shook up the race. Weltner would have lost if Baker versus Carr didn't come down during the middle of the campaign. He later acknowledged that we would have lost the race. Baker versus Carr changed. It was a watershed moment in Georgia political history, and it opened the door for urban candidates like Charles Welton, like Carl Sanders, as well as African-American candidates. You know, Leroy Johnson was elected in 1962. It opened the door for these progressive candidates to fight back against the rural white segregationists.
Was Charles Welton a segregationist to begin with?
Yes. Most progressive politicians and thinkers in the state remained segregationists up until a certain point. Charles Welton believed in segregation until 1964, in my opinion, when he switched his vote in favor of the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
When he runs for Congress in 62 against James Davis, who had been there since the late 40s, in the 5th District, and the 5th District in those days included Fulton, DeKalb, and Rockdale counties.
Yeah.
DeKalb being partly rural, Rockdale certainly rural, Fulton, of course, is urban. He wasn't running on the race issue, was he?
No, he was running on a platform of economic development. Davis was a strong economic conservative. He voted against federal programs to aid urban Atlanta. And so Welton shied away from race during the 1962 campaign and really tried to avoid racial issues until there was no more avoiding them, until the civil rights movement took hold of the South.
So if Welton originally is a segregationist, like all good Democrats were in the South in those days, when he's elected in 62, is it fair to say that events that occurred in the South after he was elected in 62 sort of pushed him? You've got the Birmingham bombing, the church bombing, and other events as well. You can't ignore that if you're a Southerner, can you?
No. After the Birmingham church bombing in September of 1963, Welton issued a statement condemning Southern leaders for their silence and blamed Southern leaders' silence for allowing the type of violence to take place that happened in Birmingham. And Welton's statement put him in the national spotlight. He was portrayed as a new type of Southerner, a new breed of Southern Democrat, and this is the label he carried for the rest of his career.
Was he still in favor of segregation, though?
Yes. He voted against the Civil Rights Bill in February of 1964, 5 or so months after he spoke out in the aftermath of the Birmingham church bombing. The crucial moment in Welton's switch for the 64 vote, in my opinion, was when the 5th District was redrawn and the African-American share of the vote was increased from 26% to 33%. And Welton recognized that the district was changing, that this would become an African-American district, which is what happened over the next 2 or 3 decades, and that Welton's vote in favor of the Civil Rights Act was a savvy, calculated move that actually got him reelected in 1964.
And he's alone in that, isn't he?
He's the only representative from the Deep South to vote in favor of the bill. It was a remarkable moment in his career.
So where Welton had voted against the Civil Rights Bill in February of 1964, by early July, he's turned around completely.
Yeah.
And that's political. It's not because he's seen the light on segregation, is it?
Well, I think it's both. I think that Welton recognized that this was a smart move, but he also recognized that it was the right move, that it was time for segregation to fall. It was time for segregation and public accommodations to come down. Ivan Allen had spoken out.
The mayor of Atlanta.
The mayor of Atlanta had spoken out in favor of the bill. Community leaders were behind the bill. The bill was going to pass by a wide margin. And Welton in some ways wanted to be on the right side of history.
So in 1964, he is reelected. Nationwide politics, something different is going on in the South. Barry Goldwater takes the Deep South. And then after that election, Goldwater, of course, gets trounced by Johnson. in Weltner's second term, he really takes another step toward the left, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's seen where which way the wind blows as far as national politics is concerned. And he becomes a, well, I guess you could say he's a liberal then.
He's the leader of the Southern Liberal Caucus in the House. He's a key Johnson vote in the South. He's a key ally of the president. He votes in favor of the War on Poverty programs, the Great Society programs, Medicare, Medicaid, education reform. He votes for the Voting Rights Act in 1965. Another smart political move. He knew that the future of the party lay in the hands of African-American voters and also young voters. You know, he introduced the constitutional amendment to lower the voting age from 21 to 18.
Charles Weltner is in the national spotlight.
Absolutely.
He's maybe the most well-known of the new breed of the progressive Southern Democrats.
Sure.
Things are looking rosy for him. He's going to run for a third term.
Yes, he's in the national spotlight. He's a rising star. He has a promising political future. And on October 3rd, 1966, in a decision that really stunned the nation, he dropped out of his reelection bid. And he cited the Democratic Party loyalty oath that each candidate in the state was required to take, a pledge to support Democratic candidates on the ballot. And the head of the Democratic ticket in 1966 was, of course, arch segregationist Lester Maddox. And Weltner took this party loyalty oath, which had been a relic of the one-party South, and nobody had paid any attention to it for decades. It was just a form that you signed when you declared your candidacy. Weltner took the oath as a lawyer would, as a contract, as a binding oath, and thought that the only way out was to drop out of the race rather than support Maddox. When he left, he gave a press conference in 1966, October 3rd, and he said, "I will give up my office before I give up my principles. I cannot compromise with hate. I cannot vote for Lester Maddox." Lester Maddox was really the antithesis of everything that Weltner stood for, everything that Weltner had fought against for his, not only his career in Congress, but his over a decade fight against Southern reactionaries.
So this rising star says, that's it? What's the reaction?
The reaction is total shock by everyone. Reporters, friends, Lyndon Johnson. I found a tape from the LBJ library. Lyndon Johnson and Richard Russell had a conversation. Former senator from Georgia had a conversation about it. And Richard Russell said, I think he's making a devil of a mistake. And many people shared Richard Russell's view. One of the great unanswered questions is how far would Weltner have gone? Many believe, for a time, Vernon Jordan, the civil rights leader, told me, he believed that Charles Weltner could become the first Southern president.
Really?
Weltner was that well-known and well-established and well-respected. He had built a really promising career in only two terms in Congress and stood on the cusp of potentially a spot on the national ticket in 1968 or a cabinet position, but something beyond the U.S. representative from the 5th District.
Was the decision rash, do you think? Did he not consult with people?
He didn't consult with anybody but his father. The reason why everybody was so surprised is because nobody knew that it was coming, not even his wife. Weitch Fowler, the future U.S. senator from the state of Georgia, was working as Weltner's chief of staff in 1966, and he didn't know that it was coming. Nobody knew that Weltner was going to leave. It was somewhat of an impetuous decision. Some would say it was rash, and it cost him. Although he was hailed over the next few days as a profile in courage, as a principled politician, some, I think, recognized that this was a foolish decision.
His legacy?
His legacy is that he's one of the most influential political leaders of the 20th century, but there's also a sense of unfulfilled promise, missed opportunity, lost hope. I call it the unfinished task because I think that Charles Weltner's career in many respects was an unfinished task. He stood poised to lead this region into the future as a Southern moderate, as a man who was able to bridge racial divisions and unite blacks and whites in this biracial coalition, and he left.
Nathaniel Meyerson is a senior at Emory and the author of The Unfinished Task, Charles Weltner, and The Hope of a New South. Nathaniel, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Steve.